Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
For that privilege. Father, as I turn now to your word, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak through me, you'll help me. It'll not be about me, but all about Jesus. And so, Father, I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So if you have a Bible this morning, I want you to quickly turn with me to Romans chapter 5. One of my favourite books of the Bible, Romans, and I'm going to read from verses 1 through to 8. So, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And before we move on, I just want to quickly read verse 8 again to you, but this time I want to read it from the ESV version, the ESV translation of the Bible. And it says there, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this short verse from Paul's letter to the Romans gives us insight into the love of God. What is God's love like? How does God's love? Who does God love? Does he love me? Does he love you? And see, I really believe that there are some verses in the Bible that have more power than a nuclear bomb. And this is one of these verses. These 18 words are some of the most glorious in the entire Bible. And if you're wondering today about the love of God, this verse explains it. So today I want to continue on our theme, Crisis Proof, Biblical Certainties in an Uncertain World, by looking at the certainty of God's love. See, what Jesus did to save us is the most loving action that has ever taken place in the universe. What took place on the cross was a once-in-history type event. It has happened, but the effects of it are ongoing even today. It didn't just change history. History was created for it. It didn't just accomplish something in the past, but it has the power to change the future. There is absolutely nothing like it. So I want to encourage you this morning, let us not lose the wonder of it. Let us not lose the meaning of the cross. Let it always be treasured by our hearts. See, we must fight against losing the truth of this verse, because the apex of all history has already happened. And we have seen the love of God for us on a scale that should blow us away. What do you believe this morning about the love of God? Most often when we think about the love of God, people generally fall into two categories. Firstly, you get the category of people who say, we are too good for it. Of course God loves me. He's God. God loves all of his creation. But actually, I'm not too sure I actually need it. I don't actually need his love. I do just fine on my own. I'm a good person. I'm sure we've all met people like that. Or secondly, we get the people at the opposite end of the scale who say that they are too bad for it. I'm doing too many wrong things to merit God's love in my life. Perhaps I could try and get it back, but the bad things are too bad. I'm really a lost cause at this point. I want to love God, but I'm just not sure how he could love me. But actually, the truth is, we are actually worse than we ever think we are, and yet we are more loved than we could ever imagine. That's what the Bible says about us. So there's a third way to think about the love of God, and that's the gospel way. That's the gospel way, which tells us that we are too bad for his goodness, but we can have him anyway through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel humbles the proud and lifts up the humble. The love of God is transformative. We don't deserve it, yet we can have it in our lives. We need it to live, and he gives it to us without any cost. What we think about the love of God will determine everything about how we live as individuals. What kind of love does God have for us? But God showed his love for us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, your life includes the story of sacrificial death on your behalf. God died for you. You are so loved, you are loved so much that God was willing to nail his own son to a cross to gain you back. And my prayer for us today is that every single person who is watching this message is fully convinced that God loves you. The way to salvation is not in what we do, but in whom we trust. What do you believe about the love of God? See, because your answer to that question will determine your fate in life. Paul tells us here in Romans 5 and 8 that God has shown us his love in the death of Jesus. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who rules over all, the one who is in the heavens and does whatever he pleases, this one has shown his love to us in the very death of his own son. This verse explains what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, when he told his disciples, "Greater love has no one like that than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." See, what Jesus says in John 15, he accomplishes at the cross in John 19, and Paul then explains it to us here in Romans chapter 5. This is the most important story the world has ever known. The scale of this sacrifice is still being weighed today. In fact, for all eternity, we will see the cost and the prize do not seem to balance. But there is glory in this gospel that fills up the throne room of heaven and shoots down joy to the hearts like lightning. This is a surprising gospel. See, Romans 5 and 8 explains this surprising gospel by revealing how God shows his love to us in a surprising way, to a surprising people and at a surprising cost. So firstly, God shows his love in a surprising way. And I want to think about this just for a few minutes. I want you to let this sink in, because this is glorious. God shows. See, God is not a quiet, reserved, no big deal king. He's not afraid to shake the world. He's ambitious, he's bold, and he loves wildly. The very heavens declare the glory of God. Why else do stars exist? Why are sunsets as beautiful as they are? What purpose do they serve outside of lighting your heart on fire? God puts on display his love. See, these two words, God shows, speak to both camps of people. Those who think they are too good and those who think they are too bad for the love of God. See, we are confronted here with what God does. He shows. He is always pursuing us, not just so that we will agree at an intellectual level that we are loved, but to feel deep in our hearts that we are loved. It's as if he's saying to us, "I know that some of you think you don't need me, but where will you get your righteousness from? Some of you think that you can't have me. What made you doubt my love? Do you realize today the way in which he loves? He doesn't stop with words. He doesn't stop with parting seas. He doesn't stop at pillars of fire or clouds of glory. He doesn't stop with breaking down walls at the sound of trumpets. He doesn't stop with voices from heaven or angels standing before us. He doesn't stop with a promise. He doesn't stop with a king. He doesn't stop with one nation. He doesn't stop with only one people group. He doesn't stop with good enough. He doesn't stop with perfect teaching or amazing miracles. No, he stops with the death of his son, Jesus, on a cross. God the Father loves so intensely that he could not give anything less than the absolute best that he had to offer, himself in the person of Jesus, the Son. God shows love to us in a multitude of ways, but the supreme way he shows his love is in the death of Jesus for us. What a greater love is there? You and all your sin and all your messiness, you are loved enough by God that he would die for you. He would die for you and for me. He didn't just tell us that. He showed it 2,000 years ago at 3 in the afternoon on a hill outside of Jerusalem. Even more surprising, he still shows his love in the death of Jesus. See, these words are in the present active tense. God today in this moment is showing us the love he has for us through the death of his son, Jesus. What we see right here in our Bibles is lifting Jesus up before us right now so that we can see with the eyes of our heart the very love of God for us. Do you see it this morning? Do you see it? I pray that you see it. I pray, Father, open our eyes so that we can see your love for us. Now, that's the kind of love we need, and that's the kind of love God has. Isn't that surprising to you? God's people have been struggling for a millennia to understand the love of God in their life. They have misunderstood him, taken him for granted, ignored him, and sinned against him. But he has never, ever stopped showing his love to them. Ultimately, Jesus left his throne in heaven to come and show us once and for all how deep the love of God is for us. You have to believe that. You have to acknowledge the love of God for you. And that is my greatest prayer for you, that you would acknowledge the love of God in your life. The way to salvation is by trusting the God that tells this story. You can have love like this, and it doesn't even matter if you're a sinner, because Jesus died for sinners. In fact, he only died for sinners. So if you have a need for a love like this, you qualify already for that love. You can come to him and he will not cast you out, because God shows his love to a surprising people. See, God shows his love to a surprising people, because the kind of person that God shows his love to is surprising. He shows his love to sinners. See, the text is plain here. While we were sinners, if we had the all-seeing eye of God, we would be appalled not only the sin we see in each other, but the sin we see in our own hearts. See, I'd hazard a guess to say that we are aware of about 5% of the sin that we cause in our life, but God sees all of it. He sees 100% all of it. And we need to understand what our sin looks like to God. See, our sins aren't mistakes. We like to use that word sometimes because it softens it a little bit. It was just a mistake. But the Bible uses words like evil and wickedness in regards to our sin. How often have you ever been called evil or wicked? But you are. We're all in a mess. Our sin has ruined us as people. Every one of us has experienced this in our life. Every one of us has done something that we don't even want to think about today. All of us, including me. Yet God looks down at us in that condition, in that sin, and says, I died for that sin. You're free. You are free. For freedom, Jesus has set us free. In fact, our sin is our only qualification. Let's look at that verse again. It says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, it's in the midst of our sin that Jesus saves us. Our sin is the only qualification, and we must still be in that sin to qualify, and of course, we are. Look at the way in which Paul writes the phrase, God shows, which is present tense, Christ died, past tense. The death of Jesus still shows the love of God today. That one event was enough to show us for all time his love because of the magnitude of the one who died and who he died for. God died for his enemies. Our sin qualifies us and our faith justifies us through the work of Jesus on the cross. Even the way that Paul words this is really fascinating to me. What he's saying here is that there has been a changing of the guard. Something has come in and something has gone out. And the Greek text here is saying that in the death of Jesus, we sinners have been redeemed. Even the syntax of the sentence is showing the gospel, not just the words, but how the words are arranged. God shows his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then thirdly, God shows his love to us at a surprising cost. Why did Jesus die for us? The simple answer is because he loved us, and to love us till the end, he had to die. But you might think there must have been another way. Surely someone didn't have to die in order to save me. The Bible says that God saves sinners, and the only way to save sinners is for the sin to be paid by someone. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, there's either two options here. Either we die for our sins, or someone else does. See, in God's mercy, the gospel tells us that someone else has died in our place. But what does that actually look like in practice? Is the Father an angry God who only wants blood, while Jesus is a loving, kind-hearted Son who desperately wants his Father's heart to change? I would say by no means is that true. God is not unjust and he's not unloving. But for justice and love to remain fully compatible together, a death had to occur somewhere. D.A. Carson, who's a great theologian, helps when he says in his writings, he says this, and let me read this, what he says. He says, God demonstrates his love in that Christ died for us. You must not think that God stands over against us while Christ stands for us, as if the Father and Son are somehow at odds, so that the Father takes it out on his Son. God demonstrated his love by sending Christ. This is bound up with the very nature and mystery of the Incarnation and the Trinity. This is a triune God's plan. It hurts the Father to lose his Son, but he does it because he loves us. And the Son demonstrates his love for us by listening to and conforming to his Father's own wonderful plan, so that this plan of the triune God is worked out in God's justice, being secured and protected by virtue of the fact that Christ bears our sins and God's just standards are preserved even while we stand free and go forgiven. See, God demonstrates his justice in the cross. Do you want to see the greatest evidence of the love of God? Then you have to go right to the cross. You have to go right to the cross. Do you want to see the greatest evidence of the justice of God? Then you have to go right back to the cross. The cross is where wrath and mercy meet each other. It's the climax of redemptive history is found at the cross. It hurts the Father to lose his Son, but he does it because he loves us. The death of Jesus was costly. He is the most glorious person ever in existence. He was there from the beginning, not the beginning of the world, but from the beginning of eternity past. It was he through whom and by whom and for whom all things were created. It's he who upholds the universe by the word of his power. It's he who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It's he who was promised and he who has come and he who has died and he who is reigning now and will reign forever. It is he to whom every knee shall one day bow. It is he of whom the prophet Isaiah says, he who is splendid in his apparel, matching his in the greatness of his strength. It is also he of whom Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. It is he that has given us access to the throne of grace. This is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who was and is to come, the Messiah, the Christ. This is your Saviour. This is my Saviour. This is God. And there's no greater pain in the universe than the moment that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. In that moment, the Father turned his face away from his Son and gave him over to death, so that he might bring us to believe, who believe to glory. It cost something to gain us back. It cost the most valuable person in all of existence. It cost God himself. You are bought with a price. God isn't angry with you because he has done everything he needs to be happy with you forever. The price has been paid in the midst of your sin so that you can be free from the consequences of your sin. And to me, that is surprising. That is surprising. That is love. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. So if you're prone to think you're too good for God's love...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.